Good morning. Welcome to the breakout panel on energy efficiency, city programs, and job creation. My name is Don Gilligan. I'm the president of the National Association of Energy Service Companies. I think we'll stay on a theme of local programs for our next speaker, and then for our final speaker, we'll pull back up to the to a national perspective. But our next speaker is Nancy Anderson, who is the executive director of the Salon Foundation in New York, who is going to talk about a Green New York program.
Good morning, everybody. I'm here this morning on behalf of EDOT and the Central Labor Council. I don't have a slide program. I don't have PowerPoint. I'm ad-libbing it, so here goes. Everybody likes stories that have happy endings, right? Everybody loves stories that have happy endings after overcoming fearful odds. Today I'm here to talk to you about the New York City Green Building Law, known as Local Law 86. And while I'd like to say that I'm here as Little Miss Sunshine, the story is just a bit more complicated. New York City's Green Building Law was signed by Mayor Bloomberg in October of 2005. The law packs a real punch. It requires New York City government buildings, including schools with a five-year capital construction budget of $13 billion, that's billion with a B, a lot of money, requires public buildings and a number of buildings that get city dollars to put up new structures, such as museums and other cultural centers in New York. It requires all of these buildings to be built or renovated to LEED Silver standards. Oh, except for schools, which only have to be built to LEED certification standards. But that's still a lot of innovation with billions and billions of dollars behind it, and the transforming potential of those billions of dollars. And when the city builds, labor wins, because when the city builds, workers all have to receive prevailing wages. So we're talking about good jobs, skilled jobs, from the design through the construction, through the installation, through the building operation and maintenance. The transforming potentials here are enormous. And that's very good news indeed. And it's good news not just for New York, but it's good news as we see cities around the country, Washington, D.C., Boston, Chicago, coming soon to San Francisco, green building laws. Each one has its own features. Each one has its own characteristics, but they're all city after city around the country, with budgets in the billions, with populations in the many, many millions. We're seeing transformations starting to take place before our eyes. And in talking about buildings, and in talking about, because I come from the environmental advocacy world, we were at a session this morning talking about the challenges of greening and transforming America's transportation sector. Transportation around the United States consumes 27% of the energy produced each year in this country. Buildings consume 40%. 40% to heat, to cool, to light, to turn the computers on in the morning, 40%. In any city you're in, you look at a window and what do you see? A building. So if we can, and we are beginning to transform our building sectors to make them orders of magnitude more environmentally sustainable, more energy efficient, we will have come a long way. That's the Little Miss Sunshine part of the story, and it's real. But as you all know, because looking out around this room today, there are hundreds, if not thousands, of years of hands-on, day-in, day-out experience with making those visions real.
I've only been at it for 5 months, but I'm just kidding.
Aggregately, we have our 21-year-olds here, and then we have the rest of us around the room. As I said at the beginning of my remarks, New York City has this wonderful, new, very ambitious green building law signed in October of 2005. It is now almost March of 2007, and that our law has not yet been implemented. It is not yet up and running. In order, as in many places, laws are passed, and it's like getting married. Getting married is wonderful. It's the end of a happy story, right? It's also the beginning of many, many years of making it work, and maybe it will, and maybe it won't. All of us know that passing a law is like cutting the ribbon. It's just the beginning. And in New York City, we've cut the ribbon, but we don't have the law in effect yet because the rules and regulations that dot the I's and cross the T's to make it happen, to implement the program, to hire the people, to spend the money, to do the oversight, all of those important things, we have not begun to roll it out yet. New York City does have a number of wonderful, truly wonderful and innovative high-performance buildings. Just last month, a high-performance library was opened in the Bronx. The Queens Botanic Gardens has a wonderful high-performance green building. We know that the School Construction Authority has its own bonding authority and its own money in New York. They are working on their own green building rules. It's not a public process. The New York City Steering Committee, on Steve Bowes here. Steve, raise your hand. Steve has met on a number of occasions with the School Construction Authority to help guide them and urge them to promulgate the best and the cleanest high-performance school standards for healthy schools, for healthy students, for healthy teachers. It's not a public process. Steve has a piece of what's going on, but we do not know, as a matter of public knowledge, how that $13 billion is going to be spent in New York to green our schools and to make our communities healthier. We probably in New York City, although the numbers are larger because the city is so big, but everyone in this room is a partner in making sure that the promises that we see in green building laws, high performance laws, whether they're at a city level, a county level, a state level, and who knows, someday perhaps even at a federal level. We are all partners, and we all will be partners in making sure that those promises, those wedding vows, are promises that will be delivered on, to have healthy, high-performance, green cities, to have the kinds of jobs and careers, job ladders that our sister from LA was talking about, means we need to be vigilant every day, every step of the way, to make sure that the promises are delivered on, the money is available, and that the promises are delivered on well. I want to leave you just with this thought, because one of the themes of my foundation, one of our campaigns, is a public education, a public outreach for the importance of evidence-based social policy. We need the data. We need the evidence. We need to close the feedback loop as we move forward to see if we are doing it right, to see if we are doing it well, to see if we could be doing it better. And you're all part of that campaign. And let's work together.